straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 154, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden. I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, this is the biggest football week of the season. It's Red River Rivalry Week.
I can't even say it.
And you know what we do at this show? We bring in the legends. We're going to have Oklahoma star Dusty Dvoracek later, but we got the big dog. Jordan Shipley is joining us on the Dungeon, and we remember him from 08. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Man, great to hear from you. Texas OU, is it? It's a week like no other, am I correct?
Oh, yeah. There's no other game like Texas OU. I mean, to me, that's what football and really all of sports. I mean, it's about games like that.
Well, I know, Jordan, you can see Jordan every week on the Longhorn Network for the home games. He's on there with our guy, friend of the podcast, Michael Griffin, who's learned how to dress in his post-NFL career. Nice suits, I've been noticing. Jordan, I'm going to take you back to the 2018. We're in the press box, and we're like, man, they are up against it. And then all of a sudden, a kickoff, 96-yard kickoff return by Jordan Shipley. You catch 11 passes for 112 yards. You get in the end zone, and the Longhorns take that memorable 45-35 win over the Sooners. I thought that was Mac Brown's second-best team, better than the 09 team. But what do you remember most about this rivalry? And take us through that kickoff return, because when I hear your name, that's what I think about.
Yeah, I mean, that's the play that definitely I get asked about more than any other one. And it was just kind of a time, I don't know, you know, every once in a while you just get a feeling like something big is going to happen. And I just remember walking out on the field and having a feeling like I didn't know exactly what it was going to be or how it was going to happen, but that something big, you know, was going to happen. And sure enough, the guys, you know, did a really good job of blocking and opening up seams. And that's a pretty neat feeling to break through. And, you know, it's just basically a foot race to the end zone. And you know, especially when you can kind of see the Jumbotron. Why, that's a weird thing to be running.
Very nice.
See, you can see people chasing you. It's weird.
So you're watching. You're not watching the end zone. You're watching the Jumbotron, right?
Well, it's kind of hard to miss on it. You know, those things are so big that, you know, you're running and there's nothing really else to look at, I guess. So,
you know what, Jordan? Larry Fitzgerald, when he scored that touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, and they got that camera shot on him, and he's looking up the whole time at the Jumbotron. He goes, I couldn't keep my eyes off myself. And did you ever think, man, just don't fall? Because that was such a big play.
Yeah, no, you don't think about that. I mean, there's not a whole lot of time. I mean, it all happens so fast. And, you know, a lot of it's just basically kind of muscle memory. And you know, it's just one of those things that all reactionary and quick, you know, quick decisions.
Nobody predicted that before, or you didn't tell any teammates, I'm running this back all the way or anything like that, did you, Jordan?
No, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't call my shot. I guess I should have.
You can lie about it now, Jordan.
Yeah, you're old now. You can lie. Yeah.
I probably could have made some money on that deal.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you. It's fun talking to you because there's so many good memories from this game. And what about the game stood out to you? Not just that play, but the whole idea of playing them every year in that setting. And it's at a time when both teams were really, really good.
Yeah, I think what I remember about it, what stands out is just that it's kind of a slugfest, and you know it's going to be when both teams are that good. And it's just like this year going in. I mean, you can throw the rankings out the window. You know, predictions, what everybody says, it doesn't make any difference. It's going to be a slugfest, and you got to answer, and you got to keep answering, and you know, kind of the last one standing is the one that wins. And that's kind of how that day was. I remember Quan Cosby having a monster game and just making a bunch of big plays and and all over the field. He had an awesome block too. That that was a great play. And of course, you always remember the ones that, you know, when somebody does something like that, especially that springs you. But he just had an awesome game, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, that as Cedric said, I agree with him. I think that was Mac Brown's second best team after 05. And do you remember just the high and low of that season, Jordan, and just kind of, you know, the three-way tie and the loss to Texas Tech, and it's just, you know, you guys are so close, you know, to getting into that that championship arena. Can you speak to the frustration and the excitement of playing on that team that year?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those kind of bittersweet things looking back at it. I mean, I think we had – it was definitely – you know, those two teams, both 08 and 09, were, you know, obviously Colt getting hurt in the national championship in 09.
Right.
Kind of really nobody got to see, you know, the end product on that deal. But, Texas Tech is a weird place to play. And
yes, it
is. I don't
is.
Know what it is, but there's a, you know, even though we, I guess my first year to play, I guess that would have been 06. So we went up there and we're down like 21-0, you know, and came back and won. But mm-hmm. it's always a weird place to play, and there was just almost, it was almost like a Twilight Zone type of feel that night. And, you know, there were so many ways we could have won that game, and just, you know, kind of one of those deals that we just basically found a way to let it slip by, and in turn, you know, it was almost just like it wasn't meant to be, because,
yep,
we, you know, all the other, anything, if we would have just, there was just so many ways we could have won that deal and won the national championship that year that it was a hard,
yeah,
definitely a hard experience.
Just making the tackle on Crabtree, Blake Gideon, the ball and the interception slipping through his hands, Colt running out of bounds, you know, toward the end of that game too. Like you said, there's just a lot of little bitty things that added up.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
It was one of those. I think it was one of those games that we all left it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah, the tank thinking, was empty after that one.
I could have done this. I could have done that.
Right.
You know, and when you put a lot of those things together, bad things happen.
Yeah, it's a classic game.
You know
game.
What? I don't care what anyone says, Jordan. You guys would have gotten after Tebow. I mean, I think Texas would have won the national championship
so
that year. I'm not a homer. You've been around me. We call it like we see it, and good or bad. And I just thought that was that game. When we go to Tempe and you guys are playing Ohio State in that Fiesta Bowl, and toward the end of the third quarter, we can't keep up with the play-by-play because you guys are in the hurry-up, and it was just clinical how fast you guys operated. I want to ask you about this game coming up. Texas is a 10.5-point underdog. Did that surprise you, given how well the Horns have played, that the odds makers have them basically getting blown out in this game?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the past this is a game I don't think, if I was an odds maker, I'd go in and bet real hard against Tom Herman and this team and Sam Ehlinger, because, you know, I know Oklahoma's really good. But this is one of those games where, you know, it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to come down to, you know, turnovers, explosive plays, just like always. But there's something different about this game that, you know, I for sure wouldn't have picked Texas to lose by 10. You know, I really think Texas is going to go in and have a, you know, a really good chance of winning.
Well, you're on the Longhorn Network, so you've seen this team play, you know, huge win over Oklahoma State, tough loss against LSU back and forth. What stands out about this team, and maybe especially the wide receivers in the year Devin Duvernay's having?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup, actually. Just, I was kind of looking through some stuff today. We had a call for the Longhorn Network deal, and CeeDee Lamb versus Devin Duvernay, it's a crazy, you know, yards wise they're pretty close, but mm-hmm. what they've done is totally different. Duvernay's got 45 catches on
yep.
the year,
yep,
but he's averaging 10 yards a catch. CeeDee Lamb's only got 463 yards. Duvernay does. CeeDee Lamb only has 18 catches, but he's got 439.
Isn't that
so
amazing?
He's talking about 18 catches. 18 versus 45, you know.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. But, and the crazy thing, too, is, you know, Duvernay was a burner until this year, and now they've basically, you know, he's become
the chain mover,
a straight-up slot receiver, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'll say this. I love watching him play because he's dependable and he's reliable and he's catching the ball, and there's something to be said for that.
He doesn't drop a ball. He's, you know, and Cedric and I agree, we've always had you atop the list of the best wide receivers ever in school history.
Ahead of our friend Roy Williams, who we love.
I know it.
Jordan.
Oh, man.
Jordan, Jordan, I'm sorry. We think that you had a better career than Roy, and you beat OU. You beat OU. Roy didn't.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't even know if I'd vote that way, but I grew up watching Roy. He was awesome. You know, just an unbelievable athlete.
We love him.
But,
we love Roy.
I appreciate you saying that for sure.
Well, we mean it, and I don't remember Roy returning a kickoff 96 yards. If I'm thinking back, you can always trump him on that one.
And I'm going to tell you, in those games we covered in those 4 years, there were plenty of kickoffs going Texas's way. They had plenty of chances to return some. I was going to ask you before we let you go. We've been talking for the last few weeks. Jake Smith, he's getting some Jordan Shipley comparisons. And I know those are some huge shoes to be compared to a Longhorn legend, but he is fast. He's a fast white boy. I can say it. I'm a brother, and he gets deep and he makes touchdowns. Do you see a little bit of Jordan Shipley and young Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's honestly, I think he's going to be a little bit ahead. You know, for a few reasons. One, I mean, I had such a rough first couple of years.
That, the injuries.
You know, ACL injuries and missed the whole second year, which was 05, which kind of was a tough one to miss. But
right.
And he's, you know, he's come in fast and healthy and, you know, I think a little further along probably physically and just, I think this offense right now, I mean, look at the numbers he's put up already.
Right.
As a backup slot receiver, you know.
Right.
This is one of the best offenses in the nation to be a slot receiver, hands down, maybe the best.
Well, what do you like about him? What do you see in him?
Well, I think he's got great top end speed, and I think he's pretty quick. He's he's got one of the things I like about him the most is that he hadn't been playing receiver very long, so he's got a lot of room to improve. But he can get separation. He's a good route runner. I think the more routes he's running, the more balls he's catching, the better he's going to get because, you know, like I say, he doesn't have kind of the depth of receiver experience that, you know, that he could coming in just getting a late start like he did in high school.
Right. Well, before we let you go, we want to ask you, too, what you're doing. I know you're selling ranch properties and you and your wife are still in the country music business, right?
Yeah, you know, I like to get out in the country, so the ranch real estate. I love real estate, and I love being out and seeing, you know, ranch properties and all that stuff. So that's what I spend the majority of my time doing, and then obviously doing some stuff for Longhorn Network. But and then my wife put out an album a few months ago, and she's been playing around and doing so. So I get usually, you know, she has me come play with her and sing harmonies and play guitar and some of that. So. It's really her. She's the talented one. I'm free and I get roped into playing with her. So.
Cheap labor, right? And what's the name of the album if people want to go out and buy it, Jordan?
Yeah, it's called Out of the Sky, and it's Sonny Lee Shipley, LEIGH, and SUNNY, and it's on iTunes and I think all the Spotify, all that stuff.
Awesome.
That is really cool, Jordan. Well, we do this little thing with all our guests where we put you on the hot seat and ask you a couple of questions. Before we do that, give us a prediction of the game. Who wins and why?
I'm going to say Texas wins 45-35. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there.
Mr. Nostalgia
that's
here.
That's got a familiar ring to it.
Maybe Jake Smith will return a kickoff.
Yeah, man, why not? I don't know.
I love it.
And Duvernay will look just like Quan Cosby and catch, you know, 11 balls for 100 and whatever.
Could happen.
I really think there's a good chance. Just more than anything, I'm not the kind of guy that bets against Sam Ehlinger. Just think he's going to find a way to have him in the game. And
he's box office. Yep.
I think some of the defensive backs have kind of had some turnover and moving around and all that, but I think some of those guys now having some experience, I feel a little bit better about that part. So I don't know. I just It's Texas OU, man. I can't pick against Texas.
I hear that. All right, I'm going to ask you a couple, and Kirk's going to ask you a couple. We'll get out of here. So your wife's a country music star, and you sing in background. Okay, if there was a concert that you could go to for free, and you could pick the three artists that are going to perform that night besides Sonny Lee, who would they be?
Oh, shoot. I get three?
You get three.
We're being extravagant here. Who would you go see?
Man, yeah, that's a lot. I would say probably, George Strait. I mean, the King. You got to have the King in there.
Yes, sir.
And then I would say probably, I don't know. I've seen Chris Stapleton a couple times. He's really good. Crazy good. And then I probably have to throw some classic rock in there. Just for me and my dad. That's kind of what I was raised on. So I don't know who I'd go on.
Zeppelin.
That,
Stones, Beatles,
yeah,
who you got?
Maybe some Steve Miller or somebody like that.
There you go. Hey, if you weren't a football player and didn't sell ranch properties or dabble in country western music, what would Jordan Shipley have become? What kind of occupation?
I think the natural thing to say probably would be a football coach.
Yeah?
Love it.
My dad kind of told me, you know, son, everybody in our family's been in football. It's like, if you can do anything else, do something else.
So, hey, there's still time, though.
I know. I miss it. I'm starting to miss it more now that I've been away from it for a while.
So is this your announcement? You're going into coaching? Should we put it out there?
I don't think so. Unless somebody wants to pay me what Jimbo Fisher got paid, I might change.
You'd go coaching College Station for $7 million a year, I bet.
Man, I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
All right. So, okay, here's my last one. It's a movie night at the Shipleys. You're hosting, and you're bringing your boys over and their wives. You're going to watch three movies. What are you showing on the big screen?
Three movies. My all-time favorite movie has always been Braveheart. So, I don't know. It's just one of those, like, you know.
That's a classic.
I like all those old movies just because, you know, I don't know what it was, but things were simpler. People didn't have to deal with cell phones and every other kind of, you know, technology junk. So I would say probably Braveheart. I really loved Oh Brother Where Art Thou for some reason. I don't know why. That's one of those I watch about every 4 months.
My wife loves Clooney. She loves Clooney.
Yeah, that one's kind of sneaky funny, too. And then I'm going to have to say Anchorman just because.
Ted Burgundy.
Yeah,
Why don't you go back to your castle on Whore Island? That kills me.
If you either love that one or you hate it. And every time I watch it, it gets funnier, I think.
So. Yeah, okay. I just love it.
Okay, and the last question I got is, there's a rumor going around that you and Colt McCoy actually roomed together.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's been out there before, but you know, that was the thing that got mentioned every time either one of you were on the screen or even mentioned. So give us one little story about you and Colt
that no one else knows,
that nobody knows, that rooming together, whether he's messy, he's a lousy cook, any little tidbit of you guys in your roommate period.
One kind of funny thing just that happened, I don't know why this is what popped into my head, but we liked the outdoors a whole lot, so if we ever had some time, we'd go out and one of the things that for some reason one day we were doing, it was in spring football, and we were looking for, you know, when deer shed their antlers in the springtime, you know, it's kind of one of those deals. Every once in a while we'd go jump on horseback and go, you know, ride around, just kind of, you know, get out in the nice spring weather and look for shed antlers and all that stuff. And one time Colt decided to kind of get close to this little creek, and his horse jumped in the water and just buried all the way up to like his chest.
Oh.
And so the horse couldn't move. And so I had to figure out, I had to call Coach Davis, who was the offensive coordinator, and be like, hey coach, it took us like an hour to get this horse. And we were kind of on a little time crunch. And so we were late to meetings coming back. And I had to call in and be like, hey coach, Well, we're going to be late to team meetings. Colt's like stuck in a in a creek and on a horse, you know, and he's like, y'all rednecks.
We love Greg Davis.
Oh, and I don't remember y'all getting suspended by that. I think
No, there was a couple things like that that happened that Coach Davis reminded every time I see him here. He's like, I still tell people about that time, you know, y'all. There was a couple other deals like that that happened. He's like, only some rednecks from West Texas that, you know, would.
There you go.
Themselves into a situation like that.
There you go. Well, hey, man, this has been fun. We really enjoyed the hell out of it. And we miss you. We love you on Longhorn Network. And like said and I said, you're number one in our books.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All thank right. you.
Take care, Jordan.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
On Second Thought.
It's Red River Rivalry Week.
Good job.
Big guy. And guess what we got?
Who we got?
We have a Sooner legend on the line here in the dungeon. His name is Dusty Dvoracek. He played four seasons at OU, four seasons with the Chicago Bears, and once started in front of a WWE wrestler at OU. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting guy. Before we get to him, he's the host of Monsters of the Monday, 98.1 FM, weekdays from 11 to 2 with Mark Rogers. He's also a college football analyst at ESPN, and he will be doing the Iowa State-West Virginia game in Morgantown Saturday, but that's not why we called him. We want to talk Sooners Longhorns. What's up, Dust?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. Can't wait. The best week, and especially the best Saturday in college football, I'll put it up against any game. Iron Bowl, no chance. Michigan, Ohio State, get the heck out of here. The only one I'll even entertain is Army-Navy, just because of what that means to this country. But outside of that, it doesn't get any better than OU-Texas. And just so we get it right, it is OU-Texas, not Texas OU boys.
OU-Texas, I'm not familiar with that. Are you said?
Dude, I live in Texas.
OU-Texas, interesting. That's interesting.
I wonder why he's putting OU first.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because he played there or something like that?
Might have a little something to do with it. explain to us, playing in that game, Dusty, your favorite memory, and what is the adrenaline rush like, and does it last the whole game?
First of all, I'm a Dallas kid, so
right.
I'm from the Dallas Metro. So to get a chance to go back home and kind of understanding, you know, what that game means, just so special. And, you know, gosh, I have so many memories from that game. But, you know, probably my true freshman year, the Superman play, just that game. I was a true freshman, played a lot in the game, and it was so close, so back and forth. That play really stands out. There was also in 03 when they had Vince got put in there. I want to say maybe it was Chance Mock, maybe it started.
Yes, he threw a pick six.
Correct.
And then they went to Vince Piotr. Tried to run a rollout where they cut down the front, and I played the cut, got my hand up, deflected the pass, and Jonathan Jackson took it to the house for a touchdown. So I was in on a score for a touchdown in that game, and those games stand out. But like, to me, it's more the other stuff. Like, I was just talking about this on my radio show today. When you pull into that stadium, when you pull into those fairgrounds and there's a sea of people, and as the stagecoaches, the buses come down, they kind of part and they're kind of beating on the bus, and you're getting the number one from the Texas fans and the chance of Boomer Sooner, and it's just like pageantry and passion for college football is at its apex then.
It's like electric before the game even kicks off, right?
It's beyond electric. And then the ramp, man. looking across when we walk out of our locker room and they're over in that locker room and everybody's ready to go down and there's just kind of that meeting at the ramp. It just gets my skin going now, and I just love, there's something just beautiful about in that stadium when you look down and it splits right there at the burnt orange and at the crimson, and you look around and it's half one color, half another color, and it's just like, to me, it's as good as college gets. Like, I remember a lot of the plays and the wins, and definitely remember the loss we had in 05, but I think it's those other things, and it's the things that make college football so special, and to me, what make that game just really as good as there is in all sports.
And it's the reason that that game should never leave the Cotton Bowl. I know the Cotton Bowl has its faults.
Never said
you can't
never move that game. The State Fair. I'll take the backed up toilets, the bad food,
anything
in the press box because the food on the concourse is great. I'll take all of that. I'll take the State Fair. You can walk through that State Fair at about 8 o'clock that night and not and if you didn't watch the game, you will know from the body language of the people who won that game. One group of people is slapping five and laughing and joking, and the other people are, a lot of them have headed to the exits and they got their heads
down. Like in the fourth quarter, like the start of the fourth quarter, like last year, right, Dusty?
When they left.
That's right, yeah.
That was amazing. I never saw Oklahoma fans leaving that early, and then I don't know how many tried to get back in the stadium.
How about all of them?
That was great. You were probably doing a game somewhere else last year, right, Dusty?
So I was doing a game somewhere else, and I had an evening kick. And so I'm watching the game in my hotel room, and I was getting ready to head to the other stadium. And I go down, I'm in the lobby, and at this point, Texas is up 21. And I'm in the lobby finishing up my game boards and waiting on the rest of my crew to get down there. And I went down there pretty early. I was tired of sitting in my hotel room.
Right.
It wasn't fun to watch them. And I couldn't believe what was transpired in front of me. I mean, Kyler Murray put on his cape and single-handedly almost brought Oklahoma back and pulled the improbable.
Right.
But you know what? Texas is a better team.
Right.
They deserved to win that game. And would it have been cool if Kyler could have completed the comeback, I guess. But I thought that when you really looked at that game, for three quarters of it, Texas dominated. So I thought it was fitting that Dicker was able to be in a position to get that game-winning kick. And what a game. That was definitely fun to watch. And what I love, too, is that now we have a Big 12 championship that if things go the way they should in most years, there won't be one, but there will be two. And that's where the Jerry World is perfect, because that's when you can have, you know, your better seating, your better Wi-Fi, all those different type of things. But don't touch the sacred Saturday in October from where it's at right now.
And the only thing better than that would be three Texas OU games in a year.
But, I can't get enough, man.
But let's go to this year. Texas, a 10.5-point underdog. OU, huge lopsided favorite. Is that justified, Dusty?
I don't think so. I'm a little surprised by it.
Me too.
You know, I've been talking about it. I think Tom Herman loves it and relishes it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, not only when he's an underdog, but when he's a double-digit underdog, that's all he needs. I mean, this guy does a great job of motivating his players. He's had them ready every time he's been the head coach in this football game. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, point spreads mean nothing. But what they can do is they can motivate. And I would be shocked if that's not something, whether it's been exactly identified by the point total or just generically, that's been something that's been broached, talked about, and used as motivation as well as should be. And I think really the only reason this game sits where it is in the minds of Vegas is because of the secondary of Texas and because of the injuries they've had, and Caden Stearns and those guys going to be out. And,
right.
And I get that.
Right.
I mean, when you look at Lincoln Riley's offense and Jalen Hurts and these receivers, the expectation, I think, is that they're going to probably be able to put up some points, especially in the passing game. But my thing is, Sam Ehlinger, he is too good of a leader. He has turned into too quality of a player and quarterback. I've just been blown away with his maturation as a passer. I mean, I'm watching this West Virginia-Texas game, and he's making throws, and I've been watching him all year. He's making throws now that he hasn't made the first 2 years.
You're right.
And the accuracy over the middle is there, and I feel like the fact that you're getting Colin Johnson back, your running back room is turning into a more sound group than it was a few weeks ago.
Getting healthy.
And I don't love the right side of the offensive line, but I think center to left is damn good. I think they're physical. I think Parker Brown was a huge add, and he's been really good for them. So I just think that their offense is going to present problems for Oklahoma's defense that they haven't seen to this point. And it would surprise me if Sam Ehlinger, like we saw with Kyler Murray last year, regardless of what else happens, doesn't put his team in a position by the end of the game to be close and have a chance to win.
You know what, Dusty? He is box office, just like Jalen Hurts is box office, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. The quarterbacks in this rivalry have always taken center stage. Now, back in the day, it was Earl Campbell and Billy Sims. Later, a little bit of Cedric Benson, Adrian Peterson. But here of late, you got Colt McCoy, Sam Bradford, Vince Young, Red Ballmer, Kyler, Baker. These two quarterbacks, I think, are very similar in this game. What do you think separates them in this particular matchup? I agree with you on the defensive backs. Do you think that's going to give them a little bit of edge because Jalen's been able to throw the ball effectively?
Well, he's improved a lot on his deep passes. And I think you got to go back to last year. Dan Enos, who's now the OC at Miami, really worked on him in his fundamentals and just, you know, the way he was throwing the football. So I think even last year, and a little bit you saw, he had become a little bit more polished of a passer. And I think that's only continued. Now, he's still not what the last two guys were. He's just not. Right. But I think that schematically, what Lincoln's able to do, the position he's able to put his players in, I mean, how many times do you see guys just open? And I think that with some inexperience in that Texas secondary, I do think there's going to be some chances that Dudley's going to try to exploit that. And, you know, to Jalen's credit, I think I saw the stat a couple of weeks ago. He's hit on around half the amount of passes over 25 yards already this season that he did his entire first 2 years starting quarterback at Alabama. So part of that's more opportunity, but also part of that is that the guys just improved. So, you know, I do think that is going to be an element of what they want to do. But, look, this is a team that shows a lot of balance. And, you know, the first four games, they're 300 rushing it and throwing it. And they've got a stable of running backs and that are really good, you know. And I think Jalen Hurts, as good as we'll talk about him as a passer, I mean, he is a weapon as a runner. I mean, he's 225, 230 pounds. He doesn't have like 4.4 speed, but he's fast. And I think he's got a very good knack for not just in a design quarterback run, but for recognizing when something's not there. He doesn't try to force a lot of things where they don't need to, especially if there's any green grass out in front to run. And I think that, to me, that's going to be such a huge factor in this game, because I think personally Sam's going to run it more than he's run it. And I think that those two guys are the offensively the most impactful players in this game. And I think that whichever defense can corral the opposing quarterback, obviously make it tougher to throw. But I think in the added offense, the on-the-move extra yardage running, and then in the design quarterback run game, I think whichever quarterback's able to have more success, that's going to give that team a huge leg up. So I think it's going to be a big part, to your point, Cedric, how they want to use these quarterbacks. It may look a little different, but I think at the end of the day it's similar. Which defense can limit the other quarterback and their ability to get those added rushing yards, I think it's going to be a real key in this game.
So how much better is this Sooners defense, Dusty?
They're definitely better. You know, it's a different front. They want to get on edges. They move pre-snap, then they slant a lot post-snap. And so you've got to be able, as an offensive line, deal with movement because they do a lot of line movement. Probably 60% of the time, they're moving at the snap. Mm. They want to create penetration. They want to create disruption. That's what Alex Grinch, that's what he believes in. And that's what he did at Washington State, and that's what he's doing at Oklahoma. You know, Ronnie Perkins, Neville Gallimore, I saw what Cosme had to say about him. But those are solid players. I'm not going to say that they're all-worldly players, but they're solid, good players that are playing well within the scheme. You know, Kenneth Murray is playing.
He's great.
At by far the highest level that he has to this point. And I think that he's got more trust in this defense. He is more decisive. He's downhill right now. And I think that the front seven has definitely performed. The safeties are an issue. Look, they don't have good safety play. I've talked about this. with what Devin Duvernay does out of the slot and how much he mans and commands the middle of the field, that's going to be an issue. Nickel and safety have been problematic for Oklahoma. Corners have been pretty sound. They've been okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I also go back to last year's Big 12 championship, and with those undersized corners, they just played bully ball with Colin outside. And they just threw in 50-50 balls, and Oklahoma's DBs couldn't deal with that. So I would expect we see some of that with Colin Johnson back in the fold, too. So it is better. They're making more negative plays. They're still not creating as many turnovers as I'd like to see. But the biggest improvement, and we talked about this yesterday, Kirk, and
right,
this ultimately might be as big an indicator as anything in this game. Their third down defense has been embarrassing the last few years. Well, statistically, it's number two in college football. They're getting off the field on third down because they're creating those negative plays on early downs to put offenses in not as opportune situations. And on the exact flip side, Texas is number two in college football at converting on third down just under 57%. And it's because, to me, they've got a quarterback, whether it's third and medium long or third and short where he can pick that up too, he's just flat out been making plays. So who wins third down, and especially against two groups that have been so good this year, that's as big scenario that I want to see play out as any in this game.
Yeah. And one question I had you about Lincoln, you know, his name was, you know, attached to the Redskins opening now, like it seems to be almost every NFL opening. You know, how do you see that? Do you think he wants to coach in the NFL? And what makes him such a good coach, especially at quarterbacks?
Yeah, I here's what I think, and I've said this years ago. I think that the Dallas Cowboys would intrigue him.
Of course.
You know, he grew up a Cowboys fan. He's a huge Cowboys fan.
Right, right.
And I think that that's, you know, that's probably a childhood dream of his.
Right.
But I think that right now it makes no sense for him. You know, he's my age. We're 36.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's in a job. He's in one of the top 10 best jobs and situations there is in college football.
Mm-hmm. Possibly top five, Dust. Yeah, I say top five.
Bob Stoops did not leave the cupboard bare, and all he's done is elevated the recruiting and just adding to it. So I think that job security is very real for these guys. I mean, look, Jason Garrett, you can say what you want, but the reality is he doesn't win an NFC championship game or make it 2-1. He's out.
That's
like,
true.
NFL, for players and coaches, we all know what it stands for. Not for long.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure that those guys feel and what they have to deal with is, I think it's crazy. Whereas you get in a spot like Herman's in at Texas, Lincoln's in at Oklahoma, as we saw with Mac and Bob, you do a good job there, you're there for 15, 20 years.
I just think
that as long as you win, you got to keep it going. But
right,
it's the same thing in the NFL. You dip even 1 year, 2 years, you're on the hot seat and maybe out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that from a pressure standpoint, job security standpoint, college makes more sense. I just think where he's at in his life, what he has in front of him right now with the new facilities, with everything you encompass in the Oklahoma program, college just makes more sense. So will there be a point in time if he's able to get to the top of the mountain and say, you know what, I've been there, I've done that, now let's go see what the NFL has? Maybe. But I don't think he's close to that point. And clearly, before we can even have that conversation, he's got to win a national championship.
And what makes him so good? Is it just his creative mind? Is it just a brilliant offensive mind?
Yes. I think there's several things, Kirk, that make him so good. I think he's very relatable to young kids. I mean, extremely relates to them very well. Communicates. Mm-hmm. He's a great communicator. But I also think, in his own way, he is stern and demanding of his players and of his quarterbacks. And so I think that it's a great balance, right?
Right.
Because he has that ability to relate to you, to show a kid that you really care, communicate what he wants specifically, but then also, if it's not right, be able to coach him up in a manner that's not off-putting. And I think that it's becoming more and more important to be able to do that, have some versatility as a coach than ever before, because
right, wrong, or indifferent, kids are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's been able to master that. I also think, just from an offensive mind standpoint, he's as good as I've seen. And I don't say that lightly, but when you watch the way he schemes, he adjusts, and I think what he does so well, guys, he sets up plays for later plays in the game.
Mm.
And he is just, he's also got this ability to remember and recall any play, essentially, that he's ever been a part of. And I think that when he does that, that helps him on the fly in real game situations to be able to know exactly what happened, why did it work, why didn't it work, and if he needs to go, if he needs to pull out a play at a certain point in time, he's got a remarkable ability of recalling what's happened previously on the fly so that in that moment he can come up with the proper play to put his guys in a good situation to succeed. He's unique. It's very impressive, and I think all those factors kind of make him one of the better young coaches in college football, and definitely one of the best offensive minds.
All right, Dusty, who wins and why?
I picked this on Sunday. I picked it 42-36. I took Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and I say that, and I don't even. I think this could go either way. I was texting with a coach this week, and he acknowledged he thinks it's going to be a war, and I do too. I just think a lot of points. I think these two quarterbacks, these two offenses, they're going to be too good. I do think it hurts Texas not being at full strength in the back end of their defense.
Right.
And I think that even holding this offense in Oklahoma to 40 points, that's not terrible because they are really good. Now, I will say Oklahoma's missing probably two offensive tackles. So can Todd Orlando scheme? Can he draw some things up to give those guys some issues? That would be intriguing, and that would be the only way I think you keep them under 40. And kind of similar on the Texas side, though I told you and I point out why I think Oklahoma's defense is better, I just think Texas offensively, I trust Sam Ellinger too much.
Right.
I think that those receivers, I think Duvernay, Johnson, I'd even look for Cade Brewer over the middle in this game. I think that they're going to give the smaller guys outside trouble, and I think that at the middle of the field, whether it be safeties and nickel position, are going to struggle with what Texas is going to present. So I just see a good old-fashioned Big 12 shootout and a game that probably is going to come down to the final few possessions. I don't think that this is one that's going to be a blowout either way. I think it's going to be a hell of a football game.
I think so, too. I can't wait. And the two tackles, they're definitely out, are they, Dusty?
No.
No. I think Swinson's probably out. I think Ely's very questionable. So,
uh-huh. Okay.
Left tackle, I'd be surprised if we saw him.
Okay.
Right tackle, I don't know. I think it's definitely up in the air. But
right.
We won't know exactly until I'd be surprised if we saw both guys out there, which
– okay.
You know, when you were replacing four offensive linemen before the year started,
oh, yeah.
All you're really looking for is continuity, and they haven't been able to find that continuity just yet.
Right.
That's interesting.
Well, you ready to play some hot seat for us?
I can't wait. Let's do it.
Okay. What would you say is your favorite book or favorite movie? Take a pick, either one.
Well, I would definitely say favorite movie, and I will go – I'll give you a serious one, Braveheart.
Love
Action
it.
Pack.
Great.
And I would say The Big Lebowski.
Your family. I'm going to just start calling you dude. Who's your celebrity crush?
My celebrity crush? How about in a cool way, but I think this will be appreciated by the fan base. I've always been a huge fan of Matthew McConaughey. Never met him. But I've just, I mean, going all the way back to when he was all right. I mean, I've just always been a fan of his. So give me Dazed and Confused, I think was that movie. Give me Matthew McConaughey. In a weird way, I've always had a from afar crush and think he's a guy that I'd like to maybe have some dinner with.
Well, they're saying the movies. Who would play Dusty Dvorak in a movie?
Who would play Dusty Dvorak in a movie? That's a great question. People have always said, now he's a little older now, but maybe back in the day, people have always tried to say that I was like Latimer when I was in college. So maybe the guy from the program when he was younger. Is that Ogre, I think, from Revenge of the Nerds? Let's go with Ogre.
Donald Gibb.
Revenge of the Nerds, circa late 1980s, early 1990s. And then you probably have to find someone a little bit more trim, clean cut for the current day, Dusty, because I'm about 60 pounds lighter, half the facial hair, and my hair isn't bleached blonde anymore.
Okay, love the Ogre mentioned, and he was wonderful in the Bloodsport movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Very nice.
Okay,
what do you got?
You started in front of a guy by the name of Donald Hager at OU, and he went on to become WWE superstar Jack Swagger, who had a nice run there. Who's your favorite wrestler? I know you played at OU. I know you have a favorite wrestler.
Okay, so I'll give you my favorite wrestler. Favorite wrestler has got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in high school, he was at his peak, and I just thought, he was a bad man. And I believe, didn't he play at North Texas? I think he played
college football. I believe he played in the state. I believe it might be North Texas.
I think that's right. So,
and you know, my family is from Denton.
Oh, Von Erichs.
Dallas. So that always rang very close to home. So I'm going Stone Cold. But Jake Hager, Jack Swagger, he was my college roommate.
Oh,
he
nice.
Is who introduced me to my wife.
Wow.
My wife is from Perry, Oklahoma, went to high school with Jake. It's a wrestling mecca of the world. They won like 50 state championships.
Wow.
And he was a groomsman in my wedding. So one of my best friends. And now he's in the MMA. And funny enough, Jim Ross became a good friend of mine.
Love him.
And I kind of got Jake into it through Jim. And I will say I did have my own opportunities if I wanted to try to stroll down WWE lane.
I always wondered why you didn't.
I passed on it, and I let Jake take all the fame. That's the real story.
What could have been? Give us something about Dusty Dvorak that people just don't know, that you play the piano, you eat peanut butter every meal, anything crazy and wild that just, you know, people don't know about you.
I love movies. As one thing, like I could just sit, I love, and I don't get to do it anymore because I've got three kids and I've got like seven jobs. And so, but I used to just love going to the movies.
I love
that
too.
Or just watching movies. So I think one of my favorite pastimes that I never get to really experience anymore, just because my life is so busy, is I'm just a connoisseur of movies. And I kind of like to sometimes escape reality and leave, you know, the stresses or whatever, the work, whatever's going on in life, and just go take in a really good movie and get me some really buttery popcorn and a big old soda, and that to me is...
You're a man after my own heart. That's my Friday guilty pleasure. Cherry Coke, popcorn, and a movie.
And we're going to try to go to the movies on Friday in Dallas if we can. Well,
exactly.
I mean, that's what we do, man. Well, Dusty, man, we appreciate it. You can listen to his musings, Monsters of the Monday, 98.1 FM.
Weekdays. Monsters of the Midday.
Did I say Monday?
Yeah.
Monsters.
It's every day.
Monsters of the Midday, 98.1 FM, weekdays from 11 to 2 with Mark Rogers, also a college football analyst on ESPN. He'll be doing Iowa State, West Virginia, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dusty Dvorak. That's Dvorak. Dusty, man, we appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime, bro.
Anytime, man. This was fun. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Yes, it's going to be a hoot. You have safe travels and call a great game up in Morgantown. Okay, buddy?
All right, guys. So,
thank you, Dusty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Duck, that was an epic podcast.
that was fun.
Just epic. Legends from either side of the Red River. Yeah. Jordan Shipley and Dusty Dvorak. You know, and I love the nostalgia of both of the guys. And if you're interested in that kind of thing,
right?
Over the summer, we did a few hours of remembrances with our colleagues, Brian Davis here, and then Joe Masada, the legendary Barry Trammell, and Ryan Aber from the Oklahoma and our sister paper. We did some remembrances. And it's on a website.
Is it?
It's on a pop-up radio website called Red River Rivalry Radio.com. It's got all. It plays on a loop, and it's just us talking about this rivalry, the games, the coaches, the players, our favorite memories from the game. Check it out. Yeah. It's really good.
It's good stuff. This is maybe my favorite week in sports. You know, I just love this game more than any other. I've covered about 50 of them, and it's just a pleasure and a privilege to be a part of it. You know,
it really is.
And this today was just so much fun talking on the podcast. I hope you listened to it and enjoy it as much as we did bringing it to you.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, if we ask Jordan Shipley and Dusty Dvoracek, the Braveheart guys,
how about that?
If we ask them about their prediction, we have to give ours, sir.
Do we have to give ours?
What say you? Who wins and why?
Well, I've gone back and forth on this, as I think you have too. You know, there are probably two things that worry me the most is that Oklahoma's quick strike ability and the way they stretch the field. They got two receivers averaging over 24 yards a catch. And then you got your quarterback. He's the only one of the top 25 runners in the country who plays quarterback. So I'm afraid just maybe too much to stop. So, you know, I'm going Oklahoma, and I think it may be like a – it may be 45-35 the other way, unlike Jordan Shipley's prediction. What
so
do you
gonna
got?
Go 45-35?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way, but I'm definitely leaning toward Oklahoma. They're a 10.5-point favorite for a reason.
And so. Vegas is usually right.
And what say you?
I know it's not popular, but I think Oklahoma is a little bit better, and I think they're healthier on defense. Mm-hmm. I think if Texas had a pass rush, it would be a lot more interesting. But Orlando has to come up with such exotic blitzes,
right,
just to get a pass rush in, and they're up against one of the most elusive runners in all of college football who can throw the football.
And you know what else, though? I could see Texas losing this one and winning the part two game.
I sure
in
hope
December.
So. I think that would be. I just hope it goes 1-1.
Yeah,
or 2-0 Texas. Yeah. I would like that.
Yeah, but can't get enough of this game.
Yeah, my prediction. I'm gonna go Oklahoma 38-31.
Okay,
yeah, that's gonna
either
be
way.
My
it'd
prediction.
Be it's gonna be fun to watch.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 154 of On Second Thought. Big thanks go out to Longhorn legend Jordan Shipley and Sooner legend Dusty Dvoracek. We'll see you at the game for the Duck. I'm Seth Golden. Take care.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.